Welcome, folks, to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. This is year two of us covering all things Alabama baseball. I'm one of your former hosts and now current host, Brandon Mraz, back here with Cooper and Austin. Guys, how are we doing?
Feeling great, doing well. You know, it's a great year for Alabama baseball. Excited to be back. You know, you and I, we did the podcast last year. We got a new face this year, so just can't wait to get through a whole season, you know, instead of just two podcasts like last year.
For sure. Excited to be with you guys. My name's Austin. I'm filling in for the first time this week. I'm first episode going in. Super excited about Alabama baseball, right? Undefeated coming out of that first series. Looking forward to finishing out a season this year, hopefully.
Yes, and absolutely great to have you, Austin. And like you said, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about the series. So this weekend, Alabama took on their first series of the season, hosting McNeese. Alabama, number 25 ranked before this series. First game of the week, what did we think? We had now veteran Connor Prelip, if we can call him that, with the limited amount of games he pitched last year on the mound for the Tide, leading them to a 10-6 victory.
Yeah, Prelip looked great on Friday night. He pitched five scoreless innings, only giving up four hits. He struck out eight batters. He really looked like he was just picking up where he left off last year, and he is going to be a dominant force on the mound this season.
I agree, Sammy. We had a pretty good showing Friday night. I mean, you know, started off strong and finished up good. I mean, you know, kind of going in off of pitching, I think we had an excellent job hitting this weekend. We're going to get into that later on in the rest of the series, but just, you know, exciting to see those bats moving and see that we've got some offense firepower this year.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Austin, with that. And I kind of want to pick up on that hitting to start out with probably one of the more familiar names for Alabama baseball going into the season and somewhat catcher of the year prospect, Sam Prater. You know, Sam had a heck of a game on Friday, you know, four at-bats. He hit a home run, you know, he had two hits. He looked really, really good. And for me, that was something really promising. Obviously, preseason, Coach Bo talked about how vital Sam was going to be to the success of this team this year. And it was really nice to see the first game Sam picked up right where those expectations were and really led the team in this one.
Yeah, Sam was really good on the offensive side. That home run just kept sailing, kept going up and up and up. It looked like it might have come down, but it just sandwiched itself right between the wall and the scoreboard out in left field. So a great job by him. And, yeah, his offensive bat, he's going to be one of the leaders on this team and defensively too. Like, we got to think about how good this battery is going to be. You know, you have Prelip on Friday, Prater behind the plate for hopefully most every game. And you got some other good pitchers in our starting rotation too. Like, this is just going to be one of the toughest batteries to face in the SEC, I would say.
And just, you know, I think really helpful for him to get that confidence going into this early weekend to build up on the season and just, you know, to have that kind of presence behind the plate, I think is really going to help our pitchers overall this coming up season, be a good addition.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Austin. And, you know, just to put a cap on this Friday game, I wanted to highlight a couple other things. Peyton Wilson really got in there in that leadoff spot, having two hits. You know, he had a home run as well. And he also had a double. He looked really good. I was thoroughly impressed with him in that leadoff spot on Friday.
Yep. He had one of the home runs that game. Our batting was just incredible this weekend. We'll get into it, but seven home runs throughout the whole series, two of them coming in that first game by Wilson and Prater. So just great overall performance.
For sure. Good to see in that leadoff spot. And I'll be interested to see how our batting order lines up and what changes we'll have coming up, especially through our midweek series, our midweek games this week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that. So the Tide get the win on Friday, 10-6. All things considered, it looked like, you know, the kids returning are ready to go, kind of picking up on that success that they had left off with last year when the season got cut short. A little bit different story, though, on Saturday. Alabama comes into the game and actually had to battle until the eighth and ninth inning, actually. You know, they couldn't get anything going until the seventh and the eighth. And, man, it was a heck of a comeback.
It was a heck of a comeback, and it was led by the guy you want it to be, Owen D. Doty. I mean, he is probably going to be one of the names we say throughout the entire season of just leader on the team who's going to help propel our offense in those late season games. And he had a home run to right center to tie the game up in the eighth inning. I mean, just incredible, an incredible comeback by the whole team.
For sure, and can't forget about our man, the third baseman, coming in hot, swinging the bat. And I think Denton's really going to be a good star for us this year. Somebody, you know, coming off of his last season, I was noticing that he had basically one of the lowest batting averages of the team in that season that got cut short last year. And now just we're only three games in, but to be leading the team in batting average, it's kind of, you know, crazy. And just to see the kind of work that he's put in through the offseason to get better swinging that bat.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right with highlighting that offseason work. I mean, I can remember last year we were talking about, you know, Zane Denton was one of those guys last year who would come in late in the eighth, you know, as a pinch runner, pinch hitter. So to see him find some success, especially with the bat, which is what he wasn't successful in last year, is something really inspiring to see and something I'm looking forward to with this team. I also wanted to highlight something from Friday. It's kind of interesting now. It looks like we have some depth in the outfield. And one thing that Coach Bo has done is started to put Owen Diodati in the DH spot. And we don't really need him in right field as much anymore. And I think that's going to be another major key to success and maybe something you saw on Saturday. But just to have those days where he can, his only job is to get to the plate and do what he's very, very, like, what he's best at. So to have those days to not go out in the field, I think that's going to be also very important for Diodati going forward.
Definitely, definitely. If he can just focus on hitting, I mean, that's great. He's one of the best hitters on this team, in my opinion, right now. And, you know, get him out of the plate, let him do what he does, and then get back in the dugout and just keep taking swings in the locker room and in the workout facility, you know, only come out every three times when you need to come out, you know.
Definitely agree. And then also, guys, it gives an option for him to be able to play DH as well as going into the outfield. That's going to give an option for any of those other outfielders to sub in at DH as well. It's a thing to remember. You know, there's a lot of options that can come in when you have a designated hitter that has the fielding ability.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that, Austin. You know, this was a thriller. Obviously, Denton was the hero. But, man, it wasn't too great of us from a defensive standpoint. But I think towards later in the game, you know, it just shows the testament to this team. This team doesn't quit. We saw that last year. I almost go into these conversations like, you know, last year just carries over because we really didn't lose that much. You know, there's a lot of guys that are still here that are still working. And I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like the energy in that dugout is, listen, we should have been there last year. We got robbed of a season that was probably going to lead to a lot of success. Let's pick up right where we left off. Let's work in the offseason. Let's get really, really good so this next season can be even better. And that's what we've seen so far.
Exactly. And defensively was a little shaky on Saturday, but the first three innings, I thought we were solid behind Antoine John. You know, three innings pitched, only gave up one hit, struck out four batters. Like, he is going to be another cornerstone in that bullpen along with Prelip. And so you just saw that. The only issue was his pitch count. You know, he got up to 69 pitches, which is why we had to pull him after three innings. And then the bullpen got a little shaky from there. But I liked what I saw behind Antoine John. And then what you said, Brandon, I liked what I saw from our guys, just the whole resolve that, hey, we're not losing this game. We're going to keep battling back.
For sure, Cooper, kind of building on what you're talking about in our bullpen. You know, that's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing as we go into more of these weekend series and seeing what we're going to get out of production on the bullpen and which guys we can kind of depend on to step up and shine in those roles to go moving forward.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with that, Austin. And kind of transitioning to Sunday's game now, especially because we're talking about the bullpen, something quite interesting what I saw on Sunday is we started Dylan Smith. Now, for people that don't know Dylan Smith has been arguably our closer for the past 2 years now. So I was actually really shocked to see Dylan step out there on Sunday morning. Not not because I didn't think he could do it. I just thought his role was very solidified in that bullpen. So I'm interested to see what Coach Bohannon is thinking with Dylan. Obviously, he's, you know, he's got a great fastball. He's got some really, you know, a couple good breaking ball pitches. You know, he's tall. He's a very overpowering pitcher. So clearly it looks like Bo has got a lot of trust in Dylan to make this switch and maybe has the stuff to be a good starter for us. So I'm really interested to see Dylan get to where he needs to be the rest of the season as a starter.
Definitely, definitely. His stat line may not show how dominant he was, 4 2/3 inning with 2 runs, but, you know, 1 run came in the second, and the other wasn't really his fault. You know, the runner did get on base when he was pitching, but it was really Grayson Hitt who, you know, let the other hits to come in to drive that run in. So I look at it, Dylan Smith only gave up 1 run through 4 2/3 inning, and that's pretty good. He struck out 5 batters as well. And to see a guy move from bullpen to starter, I mean, that's the kind of stat line you want to see. And I think if you get those 3 guys kind of going normally on your Friday, Saturday, Sunday games, Prelip, John, and then Smith, we are going to be a hard team to beat.
For sure, Cooper. And kind of going and building off what you're saying, for sure. I mean, you know, the stat line may not exactly reflect it, but watching that guy on the mound, you can tell that he's got confidence and his coach has got confidence in him. So I think moving forward, you know, that's a lot of the battle. If he can withhold and have that mental ability, I think he's got places to go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's exactly what we want to see, like you guys said. Switching over to the offensive side, there's that man again, Owen Diodati with a grand slam. But, this, you know, Owen was definitely not the center point of the offense on Sunday. Everybody was hitting the ball well. Zane Denton got back on the board again with another home run. Drew Williamson also hit a home run. You know, we had, I think it was 7 total hits. Yeah, 7 total hits. So, I mean, they look good. They really, for me, after that close one on Saturday, going into the game Sunday, what was important for me was, you know, can we finish the series out? We had a test yesterday. Can we finish the series out, come back stronger? And that's exactly what they did. I mean, not, you know, they win the game 9-5, and we have that great offensive output again. So my outlook on this series was that we are just picking up right where we left off, and that's really good.
Exactly. And another stat, I mentioned it earlier in this podcast, I just want to bring it out again. 7 home runs over the 3 games. I mean, that's just crazy. You went 2-2-3, and our guys can hit the long ball, if that hasn't been made clear this weekend. So other teams who might be listening to this podcast, Wright State, I know you're listening to this to get some scouting on us for this weekend. You can't stop the long ball. I'm just going to tell you right now, you can't stop the home run. We have got plenty of guys who can go deep in this lineup.
For sure. And I think it was a great test throughout the weekend. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, going in on Saturday, having a little bit of that adversity, seeing how we could come out of that and how we played on Sunday. And we responded and played well. And I think that's a really big tell of where we're going to be able to go this season. And I'm really excited just to be able to see what this team has gone through just their 3-game series and how we can move that forward through the season.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, I just kind of wanted to go through and see what you guys thought and who was your kind of player of the weekend. You know, obviously there's definitely some contenders that are sitting prime position in the 2 guys that we've talked about on the offensive side. But for me, and this will probably be a trend for the season, obviously you only pitch Friday, but Connor Prelip, man, you know, last year when Cooper and I were doing the podcast, we kind of had to do some research and be like, hey, you know, who is this kid from Wisconsin? Because when you think of baseball, you're not really thinking Wisconsin. But he has shown up. And he is not going anywhere. Kid's got good stuff, and he's going to be a force on the mound for us.
He definitely has, Brandon. He is going to be a great pitcher. My player of the series, though, I'm more of an offensive guy than a pitching guy, so my player is going to be Owen Diodati. That grand slam was just crazy, and you knew it was coming, too. I was at the game Sunday. The bases get loaded, and Mick Neese, they have a mound, but the stadium's going as crazy as it can during a COVID game. and people are just loud, and you knew that something magical was going to happen. And sure enough, right over the left field wall, Diodati goes deep, and the place just erupts. And it was awesome to see. So Diodati is my player of the game, and probably might be my player of the series a lot of times this season, just looking ahead.
Also, by far the coldest walk-up song on the team.
Oh, definitely.
By far.
Definitely.
I think I've got to go with my man, Mr. Denton. We're going to kind of round up the home run heroes of this weekend. Just got to love that come from behind story. Really rooting for him this year and hope to see great things.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with all three of those. So it's looking good for Alabama baseball. We'll be previewing the next series in part two of the podcast coming up next. So stick around. Thank you for listening to the Right Field Roundtable.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We are going to be talking about a little bit into the future in our upcoming series with Wright State this weekend and the two weekday games coming on February 23rd, Tuesday. We travel to Jacksonville State, and February 24th, Wednesday, we play UT Martin back in Tuscaloosa. So let's get it going. Cooper, let's start with the Jacksonville State on Tuesday. You know, obviously it's the first weekday game, and weekday games can be almost trap games because you're so used to playing on the weekend. So I just wanted to see your thoughts on what the Jacksonville State game was going to produce.
Yeah, this game has the complete billing to be a trap game. It's a road game. We're going to Jacksonville State, which is in Jacksonville, Alabama. So, you know, we're going to be on a bus because they're probably going to leave Tuesday. You can't skip that many classes as a college student. It's a 4 o'clock first pitch. So that's an early bus out of Tuscaloosa. Trap game because it's a weekday game. I'm just looking to see our guys get out and get out early. You know, get some runs on the board in the first couple of innings, establish some dominance, and continue that. And I think we can win. We just have to be prepared.
Yeah, I think you're right with that. I think we definitely can win. I don't see a reason why we wouldn't be able to. You know, again, like you said, we got to be able to get out early. That's the key to most of these games, right? These weekday games that are so hard. We gotta be able to get out early. We gotta be able to assert dominance and not let the non-baseball aspects affect us, such as early bus times and whatnot. So now after that on Wednesday, we go to UT, we play UT Martin at home. We don't go to UT Martin. You know, I've seen a little bit about UT Martin, but like we say, equally with these trap weekday games, we're pretty successful at home on the weekday games. So Austin, I just wanted to see what you felt like, going into this UT Martin game.
So I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be interesting, kind of what Cooper's going off of, about we're going to have this traveling day coming in, right? So coming off of that game that night, getting back in and preparing for a Wednesday afternoon, I think it'll be interesting to see how the team reacts coming off of that. Just looking forward to seeing how we play through these weekend day games, you know, not being able to build up for a series, not having that weekend preparation, and really trying to play through the week and see how we're going to handle that for the first time coming up this season.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think one thing that's maybe a positive about these weekday games is weekday games are really where we get to see some of the young guys and some of the guys that probably don't see as much or won't see as much this year in big time games, but kind of just an evaluation of, how deep is our bench? How far down can we go and still get really good production? So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. Maybe not as much in the Jacksonville State game, just because, you know, we're probably going to bring our best for that game. It's early enough in the week where if we do play a ton of starters, we can recover by Friday. So I'm interested to see that UT Martin game and see that young talent kind of develop in that game. And then on February 26th, Friday, we start our home series against Wright State. Cooper, I just wanted to get your initial thoughts as a series overall, but also Friday's game that afternoon.
So, yeah, this series I think is going to be very similar to the McNeese series this past weekend. Wright State is a small school coming in, and I think that we can beat them handedly. Wright State was actually supposed to play Vanderbilt this past weekend, but all those games got postponed. They're making them up right now. They've played two games today on Monday, losing one already 14-1. And so I know we're no Vanderbilt, but we could give Vanderbilt a run for their money. I see your face, Brandon. We could give Vandy a run for their money. But seeing what Vandy did to this Wright State team, I think we could do something similar in these three games. I think it's going to be a sweep. You know, last year we won our first 14 games. I can see a similar start to the season this year because it's the same team. I know we've been stressing that point a lot this podcast, but it really is the same team from last year, and they've just gotten better in this offseason. So I can see a sweep from this Wright State. There's nobody really on their roster right now who's screaming at me, look out for this guy.
For sure. And guys, I'm kind of excited to see what young guys we can get in for this weekend. I think there'll be an opportunity to get some subs in, get some people to play that might not get the opportunity to in these big series, and see what production we can get from these young guys.
Yeah, I think you guys are both right in your points. With what you were saying, Cooper, I think when you say, well, you know, we can give Vandy a run for our money, that's where these games are so important, right? Luckily enough, this year, at least due to COVID, I mean, good things to come out of COVID, if you will, is that we get to play a lot of the same teams that our SEC opponents are playing early in the season. And I think that's often the trouble with college baseball, right? I mean, you get through the first month, you know, the late February games, and it's kind of like, okay, well, now it's March and we have conference play. So are you really that good? Are you not really that good? So I think this provides an interesting opportunity for Alabama. If I'm going into this game, I'm thinking we got to beat them just as bad as Vandy did to show that we're right there with them. So I think this provides a good opportunity for that. And I think you're absolutely right, Austin, with the subs. Again, it's although we do have the same team, we do have some young talent coming in, and it's going to be really interesting to see, can this young talent get into the game, be effective, and gel with these guys? And if they do, what extent is to that? You know, it would be really nice to see some guys step up that are younger, that we can call their number late in the game and late in the season if it gets to that point. So I think you both bring up excellent points about this. Obviously, we'll probably have Connor Prelip on the mound on Friday. So I agree with you guys. I think this is probably going to be a sweep, and it'll be interesting to see what we got. I wanted to get some score predictions from you guys, though, for each of those games, starting with Jacksonville State on Tuesday.
Jacksonville State, I think, will be a good win. I'll say 6-3.
Jacksonville State, I'm going to give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt, guys. We've got an in-state rivalry going on. We've got an away game, for sure. You know, maybe we'll have some home field advantage for the Gamecocks. I'm going to go 3-2 Alabama.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, Austin, I kind of like that. I was kind of on the close game bus myself. I'm also going to go with a 5-3 game. And Cooper can tell you, to be honest with you, my score predictions last year were awful. So it's probably going to be like 11-1 us. So don't take me for granted. But I'm going 5-3 here. So going into the next game, Cooper.
Hey, just like the team, Brandon, you're a little older, you're a little better now. Those predictions will be spot on this podcast.
I'm hoping so. So UT Martin, Cooper, give us your score prediction.
This game's a home game. It'll be back-to-back. I think we're going to do a little better than Jacksonville State. I'm going 8-4.
I'm calling out a good game for our boys on Wednesday. I'm going to say 8-2.
Ooh, all right, all right. So I'm just going to have to hop on the bandwagon because if two guys say that we're scoring eight runs, we're scoring eight runs. So I'll go with that, and I'm going to go 8-1, and it's going to be because of young pitching out of the bullpen late.
I like it.
And then finally, the weekend series. Wright State on Friday, Connor Prelip probably on the mound for the tie. Cooper, what you doing?
I think we jump out early. I think Prelip shuts them down. I'm going 10-0.
Ooh.
10-0. You said we got to match Vandy's 14-1, so we got to match him. So we're going 10-0.
I wouldn't hate a shutout.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with Connor. I think we got them good early, but I think they might put a little bit of a run in towards the end of the game, give us a little bit of a fair piece to watch. Maybe we'll go 8-2.
All right. Cooper, I like that big win from you, but I'm going to go 9-3.
Okay.
Bats are going to be working, but I just think eventually Prelip's got to come out of the game. We'll probably give up some runs late in that game.
All right.
And then Saturday.
Cooper, what you got? Saturday, Anton Jean might be back on the mound. Hopefully he will be. Hopefully he plays more than three innings. I'll give Wright State the benefit of the doubt for this one. Be a little closer, kind of like against McNeese. We'll go 6-4.
I'm going to say 5-3. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe they'll prove me wrong, but I'm kind of going to fall into this Saturday slump we've had in this last season and see how we perform.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you guys on that Saturday something, but I think it's going to not only affect Alabama, but I also think it's going to affect Wright State. As we've been talking about, they're playing two games right now. They're making up games as they go. They're going to have weak games this week. So with that being said, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's just going to be a lot of fatigue, especially after a long game on Friday night. I'm thinking 2-0 Alabama.
Wow. All right.
And finally, Sunday. Final game.
I'm hoping Dylan Smith is back on the mound again. You know, let's just keep those three guys going on there. And he's convinced me. I think he's going to be our Sunday guy to close out these series. I'm going to go 7-5.
And I'm looking for some big production from Dylan Smith as well. I think he's a good guy going forward. I'm going to think he puts on the shutout 3-0.
Ooh.
Very nice. Yeah, I think you guys are right with Dylan Smith. And I think, you know, that's probably why Bo has him there. I think he just has a lot of trust in, you know, a guy who's been here for a while. He's shown his mental fortitude in numerous occasions at this school and on the mound. So I'm hoping to see Dylan on Sunday, and I'm going with a 4-2 victory for the Crimson Tide to round out this series. So,
all right.
You know, I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to get interesting really fast this year. So watch out.
It will. It will.
But when we come back, we already kind of started talking about around the SEC. But when we come back, we will talk a little bit more on what's going on with SEC baseball and kind of give you a preview, an early preview into league play. So please stick around and we'll be right back with the Right Field Roundtable podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back to the Right Field Roundtable podcast. We are talking all things around the SEC this weekend. We've gone over what the Tide has done in their weekend series, but now it's time to look around the league and see what we missed. So, to start it off, I guess we'll start here. Georgia, in their first game of the season, played Evansville and lost 3-2 at home.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Fans who have been listening for a while, and we were talking about it in the break. I can't stand it when SEC teams lose to schools like this, Evansville. And Georgia and a couple other schools, you're about to get an earful from me and Austin. He told me he's ready to roast some people too. So, Georgia, how in the heck did you lose to Evansville? Like, come on. You got out-hit They even committed more errors than Georgia. Looking at the stat line, Evansville committed 3 errors. Georgia committed 2, and they still lost 3-2. That is sad. First game of the season after 11 months of not playing baseball, and you come out and you do that. Like, this may be an entitled Alabama opinion talking right now, but you got to win those games. You know, this is the SEC. We're a tough baseball conference. And so you just got to win these games. Luckily, they did on Saturday and Sunday, unlike some other schools that we'll talk about, or else they would have gotten a bigger earful.
Guys, this has turned into a better weekend for Alabama baseball. You know, the more we can get these SEC teams to come in and lose the easy games, the better we look. So that's fine by me. I want to call out Thunder the Antelope and Grand Canyon University getting the series win this weekend. I mean, come on, guys. Mizzou's letting me down now. You get not only win one game, we might can excuse the little hiccup, right? But no, to lose the series over Grand Canyon University, man, that's got to be tough.
What's their mascot? Thunder the Antelope?
Thunder the Antelope, the mighty antelope of the West.
Oh, my good gracious.
I'm looking it up right now. I'll be honest, I did not know that's who that mascot was, but he is amazing and probably my second favorite mascot now behind Big Al. Go, fans of this podcast, go to Google Images and look up Thunder the Antelope.
It's a quality mascot, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Wow.
I'll definitely tell you that. Wow. Yeah, man, two SEC teams going down early and quick. Obviously, we do have to highlight some of the SEC teams that did win because, you know, we can't make ourselves look good all the time, although we'd like to. So just a couple of games for me that stood out. South Carolina came out against Dayton 12-1, 15 hits. Just normal day for South Carolina. They're always good, and they will be good. And then the second one, Auburn won 14-3 against Presbyterian. And they had 14 hits. Never want to shout out Auburn, but when you play well, you get a shout out. So those two teams playing well right now, and definitely going to be a problem in the SEC.
That's the truth. Another team that'll be a problem, of course, they lost the series this past weekend. That was Florida, but they played a tough Miami school. And, you know, I can excuse a series loss to Miami. You know, that is a Power 5 school, not Grand Canyon. But Florida looked good. There were some really close losses. Big shout out to one of their players, Colby Halter, another Bishop Kenny alumni like me. So representing the Crusaders proud. So he got some big hits there. And just, I'd look out for Florida. We talked about Vandy in the previous segment, but Florida is going to be another one of those tough schools that we'll have to deal with.
For sure, guys. And another name we hate to mention, old Rocky Top, pulling out the win against Georgia Southern on Friday. Be interesting to see them moving forward as well.
Yeah, you're right. I want to also get to so Texas A&M played Xavier this weekend, and they lost. They ended up postponing on Friday, but they ended up playing 2 on Saturday, and they lost both. Now, this is kind of interesting for most SEC baseball fans, as Texas A&M has been fairly decent in the past few years. You know, not really something you'd see this early. But again, this is SEC baseball, and we do highlight all of these teams. But at the end of the day, they're probably going to be there at the end of this, and there's not a team that I would count out just yet.
Definitely. Sunday, they came back and won the game 15-0 against Xavier. So that's the more Texas A&M we're used to seeing. But it's also shocking to see how many SEC teams lost their series this past weekend. You know, we're pretty lucky here in Tuscaloosa to have gotten a sweep.
Yeah.
For sure, guys. And remembering going back to, you know, it's been, I want to say it was around 360 days since our last baseball game. So, you know, it's been a really long time coming off the season, you know, really an extended off season coming in and trying to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Another team I wanted to highlight in the SEC, and obviously we're not listen, we're not fans of any other team in the SEC. We're Alabama baseball podcast, but we do like to talk about it. We do love baseball, and we do respect good teams when we see them. And listen, this team in the SEC has been one of the better ones in the past few years. They arguably have one of the best jerseys in all of college baseball, and that's Ole Miss. Ole Miss has been putting together a heck of a program down there. They were in the State Farm College Baseball Showdown this weekend, played Texas Tech. They got some quality wins. Ole Miss is a force to be reckoned with in the SEC, and one that is quite scary, if I might add.
Definitely, definitely. I don't know about best uniforms in college baseball. That may have to debate for another day.
The baby blues?
The baby blues don't do it for me. I'm not a big fan of the baby blues. I thought that was a silly time in baseball history when the majors did that and the pros did that. And so it might work for Ole Miss, but they're not my favorites. Coming from Florida, I was a big fan of the orange and blue before coming in here. So that always looks good down in Gainesville. But yeah, definitely Ole Miss will be a team to reckon with. And another team in that State Farm College Baseball Showdown was Arkansas, who also had a really good showing, beating Texas Tech and Texas.
For sure, guys. And Arkansas is a team that I always look at, especially going in these past few years, you know, somebody who's really put up a fight against us in these past few years. And come on, Cooper, now you can't be hating on the baby blues. My man, Dale Murphy, back with the Braves. Got to love that number 3 baby blue jersey, V-neck.
Okay, this may have to be a debate for another time, Austin, but we'll get into baseball jerseys and we'll talk about this baby blue.
Oh, yeah, that'll be an interesting topic, obviously, honestly. And then, obviously, we talked about it a little earlier, but Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's always there. They're always going to be there. They're always the standard for college baseball, and they will be until, you know, we see something like what's happening in college basketball right now where things are getting totally turned upside down. But as of right now, Vanderbilt is the peak of college baseball, and they will be. And like we said, they're playing Wright State right now. So, you know, once those games finish up, we'll kind of get a better understanding of Vanderbilt, but obviously going to be one of the better teams in the conference.
Definitely, definitely. I think I heard a stat where they had like 2 top 10 MLB prospects on their team right now, which is just crazy, you know, to have 2 of those. You think top 10 college baseball players going to the MLB. Oh, that's got to be spread all around. But no, 2 of them are in Nashville. It's a little unfair, kind of like. But.
Vandy's got to be good at something.
Vandy does have to be good at something. And it can't just be ascot wearing. You know, they got to have some kind of sport to be good at.
You're not wrong about that. Man, yeah, they actually might have the best jerseys in college baseball. The black with the gold pinstripes.
That is pretty good.
Those are tough.
I like their football uniforms too. Their anchor down stuff. You know, that Vandy, despite having bad athletics, except for baseball, has some pretty fire uniforms, which I guess you need to have, you know, right, if you're going to be bad, you got to look
right. Yeah, I mean, also, I guess we really haven't talked about LSU yet, have we? But they're in a battle right now, top of the third against in-state rival Louisiana Tech, and they're losing 4-0 right now.
Ooh, that's uncharacteristic. I think they'll come back from that. They had they split with Air Force over the weekend, though, so a lot of SEC teams kind of dropping this weekend, you know.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that, though. I think that's one interesting thing about this COVID season, right? I mean, we have unexpected delays. We have so many other variables that are going into when and if these games will be played and how they'll be played. And I think that's what you saw kind of all over college sports this year, right? And that's why there's so much shakeup and parity in all the different sports this year. But at the end of the day, I think once they start getting in a groove, start playing a little more regularly, I think you're going to see these SEC teams be where they normally should be by the end of the season. So, but with that is the recap of what's going on around the SEC. And that is the end of the Right Field Roundtable podcast. Thank you for listening. And we will be back next week with a recap of the series with Wright State and looking forward to our series coming up. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.